The next era of Bucks basketball is here.
Lillard, three-pointer for the lead. It's Dame time.
Giannis just inside the three-point line, working on Orlando Robinson. Spins around him, and goodness gracious.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Tonight, we'll unpack it all with a guy who's been in the middle of it all. The president of the Bucks, Peter Fagan. And our special guest tonight, who's traveling with the team, is Bucks general manager, John Horst. By far the best record in the league. And Chris Middleton is a huge part of that thrill ride.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn up play, and decision made. Now, here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. The sample size is getting big enough to analyze. The NBA season is just past the one-month mark. More than 20% of the regular season games are already in the books. In this new era of Bucks basketball, we're seeing growing pains. We've seen flashes of brilliance, and in the early going, the Bucks stand in the thick of it. They head to Miami with a record of 12-5 after a furious come-from-behind win over Portland on Sunday. Tonight, we'll step back. We'll see what condition our condition is in with a guy who knows the Bucks inside and out. He covers the team every day, home and away, for The Athletic. Eric Name is a master at his craft. Last year, he was voted Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. And Eric joins us tonight here on Courtside. Eric, welcome. Thanks for sitting down with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, Eric, lots to unpack with you this evening. Let's start with your take on the Bucks' offense so far this season. You know, you look up and down the roster, and there are shooters, Eric, everywhere.
Yeah, it really is kind of an embarrassment of riches for the Bucks offensively this year. You know, you can think about it just kind of from this perspective. Giannis Antetokounmpo has been one of the best offensive engines in the NBA for the last 5 years. Damian Lillard was doing the same thing in a city in the Pacific Northwest for the last decade. Now you put those two guys together, and what it's allowed for is the Bucks to have a great offensive player leading and running the show at all times. Throughout the entire game, one of those guys can kind of always be on the floor. And that means scoring points is incredibly easy because those two know how to do it all. They just know how to do it. They know how to put points on the board. They know how to put their teammates in the right positions to get them easy looks. They command so much attention because of how good they are offensively that it's really easy for the Bucks to get good looks at the basket. And that's not even talking about, you know, Brook Lopez having another season that is just hard to comprehend at his age. You have Chris Middleton in and out of the lineup. You have Malik Beasley putting up, you know, I think 45%+ from the three-point line thus far this season. Bobby Portis contributing as well. And you just kind of go up and down the roster, and it really is an embarrassment of riches. And it really, to this point, hasn't been smooth. It hasn't been, you know, where they've really figured everything out. They've figured out the ins and outs of having these two guys together and figured out, you know, exactly where they want to be. We were talking to Giannis after the game on Sunday, and, you know, he said, well, I can give a few examples. You know, Damian has figured out that I like to have the ball between the three-point lines and try to push in transition. And, you know, I know that Damian likes the ball in this position. And it took us 10, 15 games to figure it out, but now we're starting to figure those things out. And I think if you're another team around the league and you're watching what the Milwaukee Bucks are doing right now, at 12-5 through 17 games and not all that well composed, I just think you have to be terrified of what this looks like once it is well composed and once they do know everything that they want to do together and how to kind of leverage each other's abilities. That should be a scary thought for the rest of the NBA, because it's going really well right now.
Yeah, amen, Eric. And on the other side of the ball, as you know, the Bucks defense has clearly been a work in progress. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, defensively, you're looking at, you know, as I woke up Monday morning, it's 20th in defensive rating. I think giving up 115 points per 100 possessions. You know, this is it's unfamiliar territory for this Bucks team. You know, for 5 years under Mike Budenholzer, they were elite defensively. This isn't something, you know, that we really ever saw from them. There were really no struggles defensively outside of the season Brook Lopez missed two-thirds of the season. You know, outside of that season, the Bucks were, you know, top five pretty much every single year, and this year it hasn't been that. And I think there's a number of things that you'll point to. Obviously, they are trying to do some different things defensively under a new coach in Adrian Griffin. So some of those things are going to take some time, and they're going to learn how to do those things better, and they're going to learn how to be a bit more aggressive. One of the big tenets of Adrian Griffin's defense is the hope of forcing more turnovers and, you know, getting easy points in that way. So you have some of that, but I think a large part of what you're seeing is kind of personnel-based. You look at this Bucks roster in years past, and Drew Holiday was the lead man at the point of attack. And while you still have Brook Lopez and Giannis Antetokounmpo on the back line protecting the rim, at that point of attack, you just don't have the same level of defenders. And this was the trade-off that the Bucks decided to make when they went out and got Damian Lillard. That was a move to make the offense better. That has panned out through 17 games. The offense is better. The offense is more difficult to stop. But defensively, they have fewer guys that can really get down in a stance and defend at the point of attack, and it's been a problem. Malik Beasley has, you know, tried to step up and fulfill that role, but it isn't necessarily his strong suit. He is someone who's always kind of been a really, you know, like a microwave scorer off the bench for teams, and defense hasn't been his calling card. He's trying to make it that this year, but those struggles and him trying to, you know, do those things that aren't particularly well suited for him have led to the Bucks, you know, just watching a lot of guards drive by them and get into the lane. And Brook Lopez is still able to bail them out. You know, we've seen games where he's had 7-8 blocks in a game. But for the most part, that constant barrage on the rim has really made it difficult for the Bucks to put together great defensive possessions. And, you know, what we've seen over the last couple weeks, you think to the game in Boston, you think to, you know, the Trailblazers on Sunday afternoon, starting the game 10 of 15 from the three-point line, what all of that, all those struggles at the point of attack have led to is over-helping, trying to take care of that problem, and then giving up open threes. And the Bucks have, you know, had some games recently where it really hurts, and you can feel that pain, and then they have to try to find a way back into the game. Sometimes they're successful, sometimes they aren't. But yeah, the defense, it's going to be a work in progress this whole season.
Eric, I noticed that when you turn to some of the advanced analytics, the Bucks defense seems to be much better than what you and I have observed. It seems like their defense comes alive at crunch time.
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about this team and kind of what they're able to do quarter to quarter. They've been one of the worst teams in the league in first quarters. And, you know, if you've watched the Bucks through 17 games, you've seen it, right? You've seen the slow starts. You've seen the early timeouts from Adrian Griffin to try to slow things down and, you know, to try to get the Bucks back on track. And then, obviously, we've also seen some incredible comebacks. And if there's going to be an incredible comeback, there needs to be a hole to dig out of. And the Bucks have not struggled to dig that hole thus far this season. But, yeah, when it's time to buckle down, we've seen the Bucks be better defensively. They've been able to get the stops that they need. And in those final 5 minutes, they've really, really just found a way. You know, you think to some of the things that they're doing, they're switching a little bit more in those situations. You know, on Sunday against the Blazers, you have Giannis Antetokounmpo coming up with a big block. Brook Lopez has sealed games with blocks. When it comes down to it, they've been able to get just enough to pair with that really incredible crunch time offense now led by Damian Lillard. So it's going to be interesting to see if you can bottle that up and put that over a full 48 minutes, or maybe this is just what it's going to be, where they're going to be in the middle defensively, you know, somewhere between 10 and 20 in the NBA this year for the majority of the game, and then able to really try to lock down and get stops in the final 5 minutes.
Eric, just a quick question on that very topic. If the Bucks defense stands at the end of the season in the middle of the league, is that enough for championship glory?
I think what we've seen in the past is that, you have to be elite on one end, right? And what the Bucks have done previously is they have been elite defensively and then scored just enough offensively. And what this team and what this roster somewhat presupposes is that they're going to be elite offensively and then good enough defensively. And what you've seen in the last few years, you know, you think of that Nuggets team, that has never really been a team that's been great defensively. They've always been really good offensively with Nikola Jokic in the middle, kind of commanding everything, scoring a bunch of points. And then when they needed to, they raised their level defensively. So I do think over the course of a season, you can put together a really good regular season record. You can put yourself in the spots that, you know, the Bucks and any contending team wants to be when you're, you know, one of the three or the four best teams in the conference. And then in the postseason, you turn it up a little bit defensively. And I think it's a question, and I think it's a valid question of whether or not they'll be able to get to this, to that spot in just one season. But I do think you can win that way. If you're great offensively, you can always kind of keep yourself in the game. And then defensively, you know, over the course of a seven-game series, you can figure out the tendencies of another offense. You can figure out, you know, how they're going to attack you. You can figure out certain defenders that might work or certain, you know, tactics that might work against it. And during a seven-game series, you can kind of slow them down. So I think if you're the Bucks, the formula is a little bit different this year, but I do still believe that that can be championship basketball.
More with Eric Name in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Now back to Courtside with Gail and Bucks beat reporter Eric Name from The Athletic.
Eric, as Bucks fans know well, the team made a series of big moves in the offseason. One of those big moves was replacing Coach Bud with a new first-time head coach in Adrian Griffin. What, Eric, stands out to you about Coach Griffin, and how would you compare his approach and style to what we saw from Coach Bud?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because one thing that you hear a lot from the players in regard to Adrian Griffin is the fact that he is very much a player's coach. And I don't know if anyone really ever thought about, you know, Mike Budenholzer as, you know, a player's coach or, you know, a coach's coach or however you want to think about it. Because Bud did have a number of, you know, I think ideas and philosophies that were very player friendly. Like the Bucks were a team that, you know, didn't really match, like, max their guys' minutes out. Like, very rarely was Giannis up over, you know, 32 minutes a game. He was kind of in that 30 to 32 range. He got to rest his legs, and, you know, everyone, I think, kind of got through a season in a way that was very friendly towards players. But I think from a tactical perspective, Bud had something in mind, and whatever he was thinking was kind of what was going to happen. And players could obviously make suggestions, and, you know, they could talk through different things that made sense. But kind of in the end, whatever Bud said would be what was going to happen. And I think very early, it's been clear that the players' voices are going to matter a little bit more here with Adrian Griffin in charge. I think when you talk to the players, like, you think through just this season alone. For the first four games of the season, the Bucks were in a totally different defensive scheme. They were, you know, Brooke Lopez, 7 feet tall, 280 pounds, was out behind the three-point line trying to corral, you know, point guards and shooting guards and, you know, trying to create more pressure and try to force more turnovers. And after four games, a number of the veterans on the team went to Adrian Griffin and said, "Hey, we're okay with doing some more of that stuff this year. I think it's, you know, it's good to have these different ideas, but in the past, Brooke Lopez has been really good at this. He is runner up to Defensive Player of the Year last year. You know, he averaged 2.5 blocks last year. He can really affect a game if he's able to stay closer to the rim, if he's able to sit back and drop coverage in pick and rolls." And to Adrian Griffin's credit, that was exactly what happened. They said, okay. And game five, Brook Lopez has 8 blocks against the New York Knicks. And everything has kind of stabilized in some ways defensively since then. So if you look at their overall rankings in defensive rating, I think they're about 20th. If you look at from the fifth game on, it's closer to, you know, 10th or 13th, right in that area. So it has had a positive impact. And I just don't know if that was something that would have happened under Mike Budenholzer. If, you know, Mike Budenholzer would have had an idea going into the season, I think that would have stayed the whole year and they would have ran that. But, you know, after 4 games, they made this change. And overall, we've kept hearing stories kind of about that. You know, Damian Lillard, when he played in Portland, would play the entire first quarter. So all 12 minutes, then he would take a 5-6 minute break, and then he'd play the final 6 minutes of the second quarter. And he said that really allowed him to find his rhythm for the game, you know, getting to play with both the starters and then some of the bench guys, you know, got him feel with all of those guys, and he could kind of get used to that. And for the first 10 games of the season, that wasn't something that he was being allowed to do. Instead, the Bucks had decided that, you know, he would come off the floor midway through the first quarter and then come back in at the end of the first quarter. And he went to Adrian Griffin and said, hey, this is what I was doing in Portland for over a decade. I got really used to it. I think it's best for me as a player. And another game later, all of a sudden Damian Lillard was back to playing the whole first quarter and then the whole third quarter. Like, all of those things where, you know, it's the players out there and what they feel, and they're imparting that message onto Adrian Griffin, and Adrian Griffin is making those changes. And I think just over and over, as you talk to the guys, you know, I'm talking to Cameron Payne in Toronto the other week, and he said, you know, it's the type of feel that you can kind of only have as a former player, that Adrian Griffin is someone that was in the league for a decade, and he knows what it feels like. And because he knows what it feels like, he can understand where players are coming from and understand that what he does as a coach can really help out what they do on the floor. And I think that has led to, you know, just a different style and a different vibe kind of around the team as they try to figure out exactly how they want to try to win games and how they want to move forward this year.
Yeah, fascinating. Well, Eric, let's talk for a moment about Chris Middleton. Re-signed this summer, of course, after knee surgery. Been on minutes restriction and had what looks like just a minor setback over the weekend with tightness in his Achilles. Chris has been a very important part, as you know, of the Bucks core for years. How does he look to you on the court now?
Honestly, in my opinion, he's played some of the best basketball he's ever played. You know, if you look at his numbers per 36 minutes, like, you can only do kind of rate-based statistics. But if you look at those numbers, you know, he's scoring at pretty much, you know, the level that he's been at over the years. He's assisting at a higher rate than ever before. He's grabbing more rebounds than he normally does. You know, he's back to shooting, you know, a very high percentage in the mid-range, which is something that he struggled with a little bit last season. And when you kind of go through all this, I think all the indicators for the type of basketball that Chris is playing are really positive. It's just a matter of getting him out on the floor more and getting him into more game situations. As you mentioned, you saw him go up to, I believe, about 30 minutes in Boston and then, you know, have the tightness and, you know, you try to figure out exactly how this is all going to work and, you know, if he can keep playing and doing all the things they need to do. And we will see moving forward. But to me, he very much looks like himself. And that can be seen as, to me, you know, nothing more than positive. Like, it's kind of welcoming to see that guy back out there. It's just going to be a matter of whether or not he can turn up the minutes, turn up, you know, how much he's playing out there and kind of keep it moving going forward.
We'll have more with Eric Name right after this. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. Here's more Courtside with Gail and Bucks beat reporter Eric Name from The Athletic.
Eric, we talked earlier about Brook Lopez, real bright spot for the Bucks again this season on both sides of the ball. Eric, it's amazing. At his age, Brook seems to have really found the fountain of youth.
I mean, it's honestly kind of difficult to comprehend just how good he has become here with the Bucks, because when he first got to Milwaukee, I mean, I think there was a real question about how long is this guy going to keep playing? You know, the NBA was changing when he first signed with the Bucks in 2018. People were wondering, you know, can slower, more ground-bound centers like the 7-foot, 280-pound Lopez, you know, can those guys stick around in this league as teams try to shoot more threes and as teams try to move at a faster pace and the game continues to change? And despite signing, you know, for a couple million dollars with the Bucks in 2018, he very quickly turned into one of their most important players and went from someone that I think most people around the league viewed as an offense-first defensive liability player into one of the best defensive players in the league over the last five seasons. It's kind of incredible. And, you know, the other night after he scores a career-high 39 points, or ties his career-high because he did that 12 years ago. Somehow a career-high 12 years in between. You know, Pat Connaughton, I thought, kind of put it best where, you know, he said, this guy's had two all-star careers. He's like, when I was in high school and college, I was watching Brook Lopez on the post going to all-star games with the New Jersey Nets. They've since moved to Brooklyn, and I've since joined the NBA and become one of his teammates. And now he's on the Bucks, and he's not on the block anymore. He's out there shooting threes at a 35% rate, and he's blocking more shots than he ever has in his career. He's putting up career highs in blocks per game pretty much every season. And it's honestly staggering. It's one of, to me, one of the cooler stories that we've seen in the NBA over the last decade, because you just don't get the chance to reinvent yourself in the NBA. Once you find a spot in the NBA, you do everything to hold on to that spot. Whatever your corner is, if you are a guy that can score a bunch off the bench, you do your absolute best in that role. If you are a 3-and-D guy on the wing, you make sure you shoot threes and defend as hard as you can every night. You don't get to live multiple lives. You don't get to have different careers. And Lopez has somehow turned himself into, you know, one of the most important defensive players in the league. And I just don't think anyone would have ever expected that 5 years ago, let alone 10 years ago, when he was an all-star center for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, it really is an amazing story. Well, Eric, the in-season tournament is a new wrinkle for the NBA this year. Judging by attendance figures and the TV ratings, fans really seem to like what they're seeing. And it looks like, Eric, the Bucks are still in the hunt for the final rounds in Vegas.
Yeah, for the Bucks, it's an interesting spot because everyone thinks about, you know, is the new thing, the reason why people are competing, or, you know, why players have kind of, you know, taken so well to this idea. And the thing I keep reminding people is all these guys like to win all the time. That's what their whole life is based on. Their whole life is based on competition. So every time they step on the floor, they're going to try to win. So it doesn't matter if the new trophy has a name, doesn't have a name, NBA Cup, whatever you want to call it, if the tournament has a snazzy name, if it does, whatever it is, guys, you put a trophy in front of someone, and I think John Horst mentioned this over the summer in Las Vegas, like, if you put a trophy in front of someone in the NBA, they want to win it. We all want to win. Our entire life is based on. And it's led to, I think, some really fun games. I think it's led to some fun wrinkles. Like, you know, we're sitting in Charlotte the other week, and, you know, you're watching the Bucks take out their starters a little bit later than they normally would. And you're like, oh, yeah, point differential matters. And you have to start thinking about point differential in these things, something that you very rarely think about in the NBA because, you know, it's not something that goes into tiebreakers or anything like that. And then, you know, you watch as A.J. Green comes in and hits a bunch of threes. You see Andre Jackson hit a three. And you see the Bucks add 11 points to their point differential. And in the locker room afterwards, you know, the veterans are talking about, man, it was a great job by our young guys to come in and add to the lead. And the young guys are feeling that, you know, kind of sense of accomplishment that they were able to contribute in some small way, even if it was 3 minutes in Charlotte on a random game. Like, they were able to contribute that. And I don't know, it's just led to, you know, I think something that, you know, the fans can kind of, you know, think about and have fun with. But also, I think as a team, you have this other thing that can bring you closer together. And, you know, as we've talked to Damian Lillard about it, you know, you're talking about, you know, $150,000 of prize money for every player. And all of a sudden, that's an entire two-way contract for any of those guys at the bottom of the roster. All of a sudden, you know, if the team finds success, you know, that can be life-changing money for someone that has a two-way contract or is at the lower end of the totem pole. And you can kind of build all of this together. And I don't know, it's just led to this really fun collective experience that I don't know if anyone really thought that this is what we were going to get going into it. But I do think it's led to something fun here in the first couple months of the season.
Amen. Well, finally, Eric, we'll ask you to polish up your crystal ball. If, and I underline the word if the Bucks stay reasonably healthy through the 82-game season, how deep do you think they can go in the playoffs?
I don't think there's any reason to believe this team would be unable to go to a championship and find themselves in the NBA Finals. I just don't. There's so much talent at the top end of this roster where you look at some of the nights where they are really struggling, and then all of a sudden you get to the fourth quarter and Damian Lillard has the ball in his hands, Giannis has the ball in his hands, and the defense is thinking, how are we going to stop this? And I just think if you have those two guys together, you know, the ceiling that you are going to be at is always going to be a championship contender. That is always going to be what you can do. And I think when you look at the Eastern Conference, there is, you know, some surprise teams in there. You know, I think the Orlando Magic have been a lot better than people were expecting. The Pacers have been strong here in the Central Division with the Bucks as well. But I mean, in the end, I think it comes down to the Bucks and the Celtics. And I think you saw the Bucks play a mediocre game in Boston in the first matchup this season. And you saw them make it a game late just because of all of that offensive talent and all of that individual talent that they have, that I think once it starts to coalesce a little bit and this team can figure some things out and learn how to really play with each other, I just think the sky's the limit for this roster. Those things do need to happen, though. I want to be clear. You know, they have a ways to go defensively, and even offensively, they have quite a bit to figure out yet. But you know, that's why you play 82 before you get to the playoffs, and you know, less than a quarter of the way through the season, the Bucks have put together the record that they need to do to be in the spot that they want to be in. And now you just have to see if they can figure out the details along the way. And I think they're well on their way to doing so.
It should be a wild ride, Eric. And Eric, you've got one of the coolest jobs on the planet. Enjoy the rest of the season. And you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.